The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
It's Arthur Idala on AM 970, The Answer.
This is the Arthur Idala Power Hour with quintessential New Yorker attorney Arthur Idala, New York's go-to lawyer. He's here to share his stories from in the courtroom and around the city with interviews from high-profile guests and everyday folks calling in to talk about everything from politics, lifestyle, health and wellness, and more. And now your host, making the case for the city he loves, attorney Arthur Idala.
All right. It is 6:03 on a Wednesday night. Happy, happy hump day. I have a great show coming up because Steve Cuozzo, the writer for the New York Post, is right here, right in front of me, and we're going to spend a big hunk of the show with him. He has written for the New York Post for many, many years on many different topics, from business to crime to restaurants to real estate, so we have plenty to cover with him. I want to tell you, I had a great lunch, a long lunch, with Rich Lowry of the National Review. He is the editor, and he is someone who I know for quite some time from my days at the Fox News Channel. Although the National Review, let's say would like lean right, I think is a fair way to say it. They're not totally, in the tank for Donald Trump, meaning like everything he says isn't perfect. I think they call it as they see it, and it's a great piece of information, a great source of information. And he's just a great guy, and I'm excited to, you know, we kind of lost touch for a little while, and then, I don't know, he called me or I called him, and then I saw him in a restaurant. He happens to work right across the street from me. And it's interesting. One of the things we're going to talk to Steve Cuozzo about is, I'm saying his name wrong because he pronounces it wrong. Sorry, Steve. We're going to talk about landlords and real estate and the commercial real estate. And, we were just talking about how, working together, working in the same room, working under the same roof, him and the as a journalist and us as lawyers, how important it is. And as he was walking out, he saw Diana Fabi Sampson, the partner here, talking to John Esposito about a particular area of law that she wasn't really working on, but she heard John talking about. And he, Rich, used that as an example of how important it is when we all work together. And, you know, because she was actually helping John on something that she's not working on. And it's like that interaction would have never happened if everybody was working. If John's in, you know, where he is in lower Manhattan and Diana's up in Connecticut and I'm in Brooklyn. We're going to talk about how that is all, that remote stuff affects the real estate market. One of the young lawyers here today, I'll whisper, she came in and said, you know, how would you feel about me working one day from home? And I didn't say this. What I wanted to say is like, well, how would you feel if I gave you like half the pay for that one day that you're working from home? Because I'm just not a believer in it. Sorry. I don't know. You can call me old fashioned, but I just want people here. So I didn't say that. I said, well, let's see what's working on, what's going on, what you're working on. And, you know, I just kind of tiptoed around it, but no, it's not happening. Unless it's for a specific reason. There was something else. I just, the train went off the track. There was something else I just wanted to say. See, Alex, you see what's happening to me, Alex?
I see. There's so much up in that cranium, you know? You got to start talking about it all, you know?
So, I am supposed to be going to a very special dinner tonight with Sid Rosenberg from WABC and from my friend Keith Kantrowitz and some other folks, New York City movers and shakers. Then I'll go home and see Luca. We are in all over today's papers because the headline is Judge Won't Punish Michael Cohen for Relying on Artificial Intelligence. Former President Donald J. Trump's one-time fixer gave his lawyer fake legal citations concocted by the artificial intelligence program Google Bard for a motion the lawyer filed in federal court. And I believe either Judge Kamens or our law firm is quoted, and basically we represented our good friend and a member of ABK, David Schwartz, because he represented Michael Cohen, who was asking for the judge to cut short his time on probation or post-release supervision, as they call it in federal court. And there were some documents that were cited. And lo, here it is. I sincerely apologize to the court for not checking these cases personally before submitting them to the court, Mr. Schwartz wrote. Barry Kamens, a lawyer for Mr. Schwartz, said Wednesday, "We are gratified that the court viewed this mistake as one that was not made in bad faith by Mr. Schwartz." So we got a little ink there and a lot of relief. When you're in federal court and you do something that could cause you to be sanctioned, it is very, very scary, because we have to fill out these forms regularly and about when you got to get recertified. And like every 2 years, you have to fill out these bar exam, like not bar exam, bar association forms, and to be, you know, make sure you're in good standing. And if you're sanctioned, you got to fill out this whole other page and why were you sanctioned and what were the circumstances. And usually sanctioning typically is you got to pay a fine, but it's like a black mark on your, I don't know, your reputation or whatever. John, what's it mean when you get sanctioned in federal court?
It can mean a lot of things. You
get punished. Closer to the microphone.
There's various punishments. You can get sanctioned in very different ways.
Isn't it usually a fine, though?
More often than not.
Right, Judge Lewis, when you get sanctioned in federal court because you messed something up, isn't it typically a fine and then you get the letter or the black mark in your folder?
Well, you can get a fine or they can...
You can get a fine. Or they can give you, yeah, that's if you're really doing something really, really horrible. That didn't, you know, look, this AI stuff. So one of the young, actually, she's not even a lawyer, intern here. She's like, "Mr. Idala, I'm doing some research about how AI, artificial intelligence, can help us here at the law firm." And you know what I said? I said, "Do the research and bring it to me." But they're not there yet. In other words, I do not trust it. I don't have faith in it. I am sure eventually it could be very helpful. I mean, it's just for folks who don't know, like maybe my parents. There are certain websites right now where you go on and I could just say whatever you put in, just say, "Please write me a 500-word document on the life of Arthur Idala, the attorney, or the life of Artie Idala, whose birthday is today. We'll talk about it later, the boxing judge." And all of a sudden, within like 15 seconds, boom, you just start seeing it print out. Arthur L. Idala is from Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. He's 57 years old. He worked in the Brooklyn District Attorney's Office. He's married to Mary Amber Tuna. And you're like, wow, this is amazing. The thing is it's not always that accurate. So I'm not 57 years old. They would write that I'm 57 because they would look and see that I was born in 1967. So they would assume I'm already 57. I'm still 56 until December the 1st. We are going to come back. We're going to take a quick break. We did a quick first segment because I can't wait to talk to Steve Cuozzo from the New York Post. We're going to talk real estate. We're going to talk crime. We're going to talk a little restaurants. And then we'll do a little tribute to Poppy at the end. And then I'm going to go to dinner with Sid Rosenberg, Keith Kantrowitz, and I think Councilwoman Vernikoff. It should be a great show, everybody. Don't go away. It's the Arthur Idala Power Hour on AM 970, The Answer.
Hello, this is John Leventhal. I am a partner in the law firm of Idala, Bertuna & Kamens. I have been a lawyer for 43 years, including 13 years as a trial judge and 13 years as an appellate judge. I have presided over almost every kind of civil and criminal case, and I have seen litigants facing almost every legal problem you can imagine. What is the most important thing for a litigant to do? It is to obtain the right lawyer, someone with the ability to navigate you through the court system and achieve achieve the best possible outcome. At Idala, Bertuna & Kamins, that is what we offer. When I was on the bench, Idala, Bertuna & Kamins earned the reputation of being the boutique law firm that fights passionately for their clients in the most professional manner in both civil and criminal cases. I am proud to be a member of the Idala, Bertuna & Kamins law firm, where our lawyers will give you the powerful representation you all deserve.
Hey, it's Arthur Idala here for Bay Ridge Honda, run by my family friend, Rob Sabah, and his family. Sabah family owned and operated. This Honda dealer has been there for over 60 years, serving the five boroughs. I've gotten cars there. My whole family has. My mother, my sister, my grandfather. Everyone knows to go to Bay Ridge Honda because the Sabah family and their team make you feel like you're part of their family, and they are the most trusted in the business. To kick off spring, Bay Ridge Honda is offering $0 deals all month long. $0 deals. That means zero down deals. On top of that, APR rates as low as 1.9%, and no payments until summer 2024. 90 days of no payments. They have best prices around and will offer you top dollar for your trade-in. You name it, they have it. Brand new Hondas like the Civic, the HR-V, the CR-V, the Accord, and the Passport. Honda has them all. Serving the five boroughs of New York, every new vehicle comes with the Bay Ridge Plus package for all of your service maintenance needs. Visit Bay Ridge Honda, 4th Avenue and 88th Street in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, or online at BayRidgeHonda.com. Is your husband or wife in a hospital or rehab center? Are people telling you that they are not eligible for Medicaid? The cost of a nursing home is $500 a day, $15,000 a month. Are you frightened about bankruptcy just to pay the medical and facility bills? Don't panic. Just call Connors and Sullivan, attorneys at law. These attorneys have been doing this for 40 years. They've helped hundreds of people just like you with the same thing that you could be going through. They'll tell you exactly what you're eligible for, and they'll also help you devise a plan to avoid such dire news as bankruptcy. Call Connors and Sullivan for a free initial consultation with a lawyer. That's 718-238-6500. With offices in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, and Staten Island, it's never too late. The time to act is now, so don't wait and call Connors and Sullivan today, 718-238-6500. That's 718-238-6500. And trust me, folks, after you speak with them, you'll be glad that you did.
Listen to AM 970 The Answer on Alexa, TuneIn, iHeart, or Odyssey.com.
Can I get an encore? Do you want more? Cook and roll with the Brooklyn boys. So for one last time, I need y'all to roll.
All right. Welcome back to the Arthur Idala Power Hour here on this hump day. We are, celebrating getting halfway through the week. It was a full week, no vacation, no holiday, no nothing, just a lot of work. Next week will be a little slow because it's like Holy Thursday, Good Friday. The week after that, I don't know, there's like an Easter thing going on. But I have this really cool Ferris wheel. It's like I would say it's about 2.5 feet high by maybe 1.5 feet wide. It's a Ferris wheel brought for me by a very good friend. He's a little bit of a client, but I consider him more of a friend, who listens to this show but asked me not to mention his name. And like where the legs are on the wheel or where the carts are, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different little carts, you know, where you'd be like sitting in to go around the wheel, and each one has a little bit of candy. It's a Purim Ferris wheel. I haven't decided on Saturday who I'm going to dress up as a Purim. I was thinking maybe Laurel and Hardy, or I don't know, Fibber McGee and Molly, if anybody knows who those people are. But let's talk serious talk here, because I don't want to waste time. I have in the office with me, not as a client, but as a guest on the Arthur Idala Power Hour, a guy who for many years has been mispronouncing his last name. But it's a name that everybody knows. Anyone who's read any newspaper in the city of New York, or listened to a little radio, or watched a little TV, the one, the only, currently the columnist of every topic you could think of for the New York Post, Steve. His real name is Cuozzo, but they call him Cuozzo. What's up with the Cuozzo?
Hey, family.
Family?
My family thought it was Cuozzo. I can't help that. After 74 years, I'm not going to start changing it now.
All right.
But they were mistaken.
Okay. All right, Cuozzo. Anyone who literally has picked up a newspaper anytime, I don't know, the last how many years you've been there? 30-something?
No, we just passed 51. That's 5-1.
Wow. All right. Well, Jim Kerr just celebrated 50 years on the radio at 104.3, doing a little rock and roll DJing. So you were at 51. Geraldo's at 51, too, I believe. So, okay, Steve, let's just cut right to it. Let's talk about the updates to first we'll do real estates, and then we'll do restaurants, and then maybe we'll do a little crimes. Does that sound like a good idea?
Sounds like a plan.
All right. So give me a little guidance. Where do you want to go in the world of real estate right now?
Well, you may have seen I had an article in the New York Post today, and it's online, very extensive, that office buildings all over the city, the landlords hoping to lure tenants and also to among the tenants they already have to lure people back to their offices instead of work from home, filling these buildings with all sorts of amenities. And there are about 70 buildings now that have these. So whatever you want in building entertainment, it's there. So Larry Silverstein has a building at 120 Broadway. It's one of my favorite setups. They have an entire floor that's set up with video, 1980s style video arcade games, imitations of old time offices, all kinds of fun stuff. Shuffleboard, I think. And then the other buildings have live entertainment at certain times. There are pickleball courts, basketball courts. Underneath the Seagram building, they have a thing beneath the plaza of the Seagram building on Park Avenue that they call the playground. And it's a big space, 30, 40,000 square feet with a full scale basketball court. They even have a rock climbing wall. What else would you like? All right. At Rockefeller Center, although you can't see it from the street, tenants only in the Rock Center original buildings can use a private elevated park. They call it Radio Park, and it's literally on the roof of Radio City Music Hall. You can't see it from the street, but it's a magnificently landscaped space, and where, you know, people who work on Saturday Night Live and nightly newscast can hang out there, or anyone can hang out there if you work there. These are all private amenities that the public doesn't have access to.
What is the thinking behind this from the landlords, right? So you're talking about giving away 30,000 square feet or in 120 Broadway, you know, that they could be getting rent from that and making money.
It's a sacrifice because, first of all, in most cases, it takes away from the available, leasable space. And they also spend a lot of money building these things. Why do they do it? They believe, and they may or may not be right, that you can't just have an office building anymore. You've got to, since the pandemic ended, you've got to attract companies with all kinds of fun stuff. Now, how important that really is to a tenant, I don't know. But, however, I can tell you that tenants think that they want these things, and they constantly tell their the landlords that, no, your floors are very nice and thus and such building, but we want more. We want outdoor space. One of the things that landlords have done that's really fabulous is that they took old, a lot of office buildings in New York have terraces that were never used. They use them as like dumping grounds for equipment.
I'm laughing right now because we have one right here, right off of the other side of my floor. And I'm talking to the landlord as we speak. I go, why can't I go out here? This is like, 200 square feet. I can put a little table. I can put some trees.
It's pretty small.
And they go, that's all I need.
What do they use it for?
Nothing.
Nothing.
There's nothing.
Maybe they're worried about, I don't know. Maybe they're worried about it. Insurance issues, jumping off.
They said they'll work with me. So we'll see what happens.
That's good. So this is part of the frenzy of the office leasing market right now. You've got a record high total availability. They call it availability. You and I in English know it as vacancy. 20% in Manhattan, not uniformly distributed. On Park Avenue and 6th Avenue, there's nothing like that. It's more like 9%. But lower Manhattan, Wall Street area, it's 30%.
30% vacancy.
Yeah.
In other words, they're doing worse than Midtown?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. Their numbers are a lot lower, right? Per square foot for rental in lower Manhattan.
The asking rents are much lower, but it doesn't do them that much good. So you've got their entire giant office buildings in the Wall Street area that are empty.
Now, is that because of this whole work from home BS?
No, nothing to do with that. It's one of them.
Wait, hold on. You have a sip of your coffee. I want you to be
one of the buildings.
Hold on. Everyone, take a pour. We're talking to Steve, whose last name is supposed to be Cuozzo, but he goes by Cuozzo, which is like, I don't know, Japanese or something like that, if you say it the right way. We're talking about real estate. He's been writing for the New York Post since, I don't know, Muffin was a kitten.
Dinosaurs.
Okay, so go ahead. So I want to know why there's more vacancy downtown than in Midtown.
Lousier buildings. And that's one reason. Another reason is that Wall Street, meaning defined as the banks, the investment banks, financial services companies that historically need a lot of space, they had begun moving uptown many, many years ago. So where I work on 6th Avenue, I'm in media, but all the tenants around me are their banks and law firms. And so there was a migration out of Wall Street uptown that began decades ago. Why? Because Midtown is more fun. It's easier to get to. It has better public transportation, yada, yada. But what's killing the financial district now is that it's full of old lousy buildings that can't easily be converted to apartments. All the buildings that were going to be converted to apartments are pretty much done, one exception.
Those were done,
and they're very successful. There's one ongoing now. It'll be the biggest one of all. It's on Water Street, but that's the exception. There are two buildings that skew all the statistics. One is 60 Wall Street. It's a 2 million square foot building that was developed by Morgan Stanley back in the 1980s. They sold it to Deutsche Bank. Deutsche later decided to move out when their lease was up. That building is, I believe, entirely vacant, and it's now owned by Paramount, which is a German real estate company. And these are powerful, very, wealthy guys. They know what they're doing. But they're having, I think, a tough time figuring out what to do with this thing. They want to redo the lobby to make it, a good lobby as opposed to this weird thing that was set up in the 1980s. And they're stymied because there are the usual preservationist crowd. It's not a landmark. And yet they're getting all sorts of, pushback. Well, you can't do this. You can't do that. So that's a vacant building of enormous size. And then there's a building called 111 Wall Street, which is at the east end. It's near the river. And Citibank used to own it. They sold it. They moved out many years ago, some years ago. And some new guys came in. I can't remember the names of the company. And they spent too much to buy the land. They spent too much to buy the building. They spent too much redesigning the building. A total of almost $500 million. Which is insane for a 1960 vintage, what was basically a crummy office building. It looks a lot better. They did a nice job. They're out of money and they're out of luck, and there are no tenants. And I think it's in foreclosure.
All right.
So those two buildings.
Okay, I got you. I have to pay some bills here. We're gonna jump into a quick commercial. We're talking to Steve Cuozzo, as I call him, his proper last name, from the New York Post. We're talking about real estate. I want to continue to talk about real estate. Steve, I want to talk to you a little bit about how the New York State Assembly and Senate, some of the laws that they've passed that have handcuffed some of the landlords here in the city. And then we're going to talk a little bit about restaurants, and then we're going to talk about crime, because Steve has covered it all for the New York Post. It is a Wednesday night. It's the bottom of the hour, the Arthur Idala Power Hour. Be right back. Thing at the door, always be thinking of you, always love you though, New York.
We are moving now.
Electric bikes are everywhere. They are quiet and very fast. Teens ride them on the roads, in bike lanes, but also in places they should not be, like sidewalks and parks.
Look out!
When you ride, wear a helmet. Don't speed. Watch out for pedestrians and cars. New York State and your community have specific rules for electric bikes. Follow them. Go to trafficsafety.ny.gov for more info. A message brought to you by the Governor's Traffic Safety Committee.
Hi, it's Arthur Idala. When you're looking for concrete materials for your next construction project, call on the experts of Diamondback Ready Mix, New York and New Jersey's number one premier family-owned concrete supplier, proudly located on Staten Island, providing concrete services for commercial, municipal, and residential general contractors throughout New York City and New Jersey. The Diamondback Ready Mix Quality is Our Strength service will guide each customer from the initial order through the final pouring, fully insured in New York and New Jersey, and will produce your concrete with the perfect blend of durability, strength, and appearance for your project. Take it from Arthur Idala. Call today and ask for Harry Lynch for personalized service, second to none. Call 718-650-5649 for your free estimate. That's 718-650-5649. Or go online to Diamondback Ready Mix. That's REDIMIX.com. Diamondback Ready Mix is the DeFazio Industries company. Hi, it's Arthur Idala. Many students finish college without a clear path towards a career. Do you know a graduate in this position? Well, tell them about Plaza College's accelerated program in court reporting, which allows them to speed their way into the legal field and make great money without going to law school. This is an in-demand, lucrative career with flexibility that more people need to know about. I speak to the district attorney's offices often, and they are in dire need of court reporters. Courts, schools, and television stations are all seeking these professionals to record and caption everything from depositions, classes, live shows, and sporting events. And the National Court Reporters Association has partnered with Plaza College to offer a free 2-week virtual seminar that gives a glimpse into the world of court reporting and captioning. The program is called A to Z and is being offered free and can be completed from the convenience of your home. So sign up today by emailing info@plazacollege.edu. That's info@plazacollege.edu.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
We're back to the Arthur Idala Power Hour with New York City's preeminent trial attorney and quintessential New Yorker, attorney Arthur Idala.
Well, we are taking care of business on a Wednesday night here in New York City. I'm in Midtown, and I am, look, I'm not going to lie to you guys, especially your regular listeners. I am always excited when I have a live guest here. Of course, some people we have to accommodate with the phone, but when someone, the ilk of Steve Cuso, is sitting across from me of the New York Post, I get excited. Actually, one of our regular listeners said he's one of the four or five guests that the only guests I need on the show ever because not only is he so insightful and knowledgeable, but he has an excellent delivery. So, Steve, that's the truth. I could show you a text from one of the listeners. They really, you know what you're doing and you know how to talk about it. Talk to me a little bit about the legislatures here in New York State, whether it be the Assembly, the State Assembly, the State Senate, or the City Council. How have they made life more difficult for landlords?
They've made life difficult for landlords and for the police and for law enforcement and for business generally because they are so progressive, progressive minded. What happened?
I don't know what that means. I know what you're saying, but this whole progressive label.
Communist. How about that?
Is that what we're going with?
No, okay. Not quite.
They want to take the guns away from the cops.
The legislature. The two houses, one was Democrat-controlled, the other was Republican-controlled, they were in a sort of constructive, productive balance for many, many decades. When Trump was elected president, there was a huge, remember, New York State is incredibly Democratic, and the city, outnumbering Republican voters like 80 zillion to one. And the result was that in a half dozen districts, progressive, quote unquote, legislators won elections, knocking out, the incumbents who were moderate. And so now there's a terrible imbalance with this extreme left wing bias. And specifically in the matter of landlords, I mean, there are a million issues, but the one that springs to mind is that we've got a housing shortage. We must build, right? The only way anybody could build housing in New York City was with what was known as the 421A tax abatement program. It gave developers a tax break, which they could pass on to their tenants to some extent if it were rental buildings over a certain period of time in exchange for building buildings larger than a shoebox. That expired a year and a half ago. Ever since then, Governor Hochul, to her credit, has tried to restore these tax benefits for developers, but she is so strongly opposed that in both houses of the in Albany, that, for example, okay, there's a guy, Mike Janaris, who is
he's the Queens
councilman
guy.
Queens,
wants to be the next
Queens guy.
Attorney General.
He's farther left than you know.
He's
Lennon.
The one who killed the Amazon deal.
Yes, he was, and on many subject issues. And he says there will not be any reinstitution of 421 benefits by any name unless we also get good cause eviction passed into law. Good cause eviction is the most misnamed thing in the history of the world. It's the opposite of what it says. Good cause eviction basically would prevent landlords from evicting anybody, a rental tenant. Doesn't matter if you shoot somebody, wouldn't matter if you are you don't pay your rent for 19 months. And so that's a stalemate. And it's precisely this sort of thing that ties the residential development, you know, community or, you know, industry in knots. They can't proceed. And so, you know,
that's the same thing's going on with bail reform, right? They're trying to, in terms of the stalemate up at all. Well, it's not even a stalemate.
It's not a stalemate.
But Hochul's tried, to her credit. I know Eric Adams has tried, and they just shut the door on their face.
Yep. And it was it was instituted when Andrew Cuomo was governor. And, you know.
That was after. If you look at all these things that Andrew Cuomo signed, it was after the Republicans lost the Senate. And now you had both houses in the Democratic hands, and that position that Andrew Cuomo held as I'm going to be negotiating between the Republicans in the Senate and the Democrats in the Assembly, so I have some power, disappear. And he had no more power.
I have to disagree with you.
Go ahead, let's do it.
Because he had veto power, period. He didn't have to negotiate with anybody.
But what about,
he could have vetoed the legislation.
Okay, and then...
Sorry, Andrew.
No, and now they got to go pass his budget. Now what happens? Now they say, okay, you vetoed us, now we don't pass your budget.
Then you say to them, okay, you're going to tie the state up in knots, we're not going to have a budget, we're not going to be able to pay our employees. He didn't have the... B-A-L-L-S.
We call him Coolio.
Rudy Giuliani might have, but Rudy Giuliani, who was, of course, mayor, not governor, Rudy Giuliani lived in and worked in a different time.
You wrote the article about it,
yeah,
right?
One of them.
You wrote the article, I think, kind of, correct me if I'm wrong, defending or standing up for Mayor Adams, saying Rudy Giuliani had Peter Vallone, and who was the speaker of the city council, or whatever they called him at the time, president, I don't know if he was speaking as president or whatever, who was working hand in hand with him, and he didn't have a defund the police era going on, whereas Adams is up against...
He's surrounded. And I feel bad for him because I believe his heart is absolutely in the right place. He may yet achieve some small improvements, breakthroughs on the relating to bail reform, so-called bail reform. I prefer bail deform is more like it, the city is we're in a pickle.
Look, I went to dinner two nights ago with three former first grade detectives who are way long retired now, but they said the obvious answer, and I couldn't agree with them more, is at the very least regarding the bail reform laws, you have to change it so that recidivists are eligible for bail, meaning if this is the third time in the last whatever 6 months, 9 months that you're in front of the judge, you have to then say, you know what, like, you're getting bail, I'm remanding you. Right now the law is on a misdemeanor, you cannot set bail if it's the 40th time. That needs to be fixed.
But you're the attorney here, tell me if I'm right or not. Even in cases where the DAs ask for bail and under the current laws, on certain circumstances, they can hold someone on bail. The judges decline to do that. Either, you know, the argument is made that, well, they just don't really understand the law. I don't think that's the case. Now, some judges are elected, some are appointed. Across the board of you know, New York City, New York State judges, almost all of them are far left. They are criminal supportive. We've just had, in the last week, there were at least two instances that the New York Post covered of criminals, recidivists. They, you know, 10 times they were arrested and let go, and now they commit a worse crime than previously that involves bodily harm to a victim. And the judge sets bail, if he or she does, oh, bail is like $1,500.
Yeah. Well, what did you think of the Brooklyn District Attorney's decision not to set bail on the shooting in the subway the other day?
What I know of it, I applaud this DA.
Eric Adams. Eric Gonzalez.
He had guts to do it. It's interesting because I assumed that there would be tremendous blowback from the left or the right on this, and there hasn't been.
You know why? Because guys like us who ride the subway, who are the progressives, if you want to say that, they're, by the grace of God, go, why? I'm on the subway, two guys get into a fight, a guy pulls out a gun, you know, and the guy who's defending himself takes him out. I mean, I think, look, real quick, and then we got to take a break. I've been asked if I was trying the Daniel Penny case. He's the Marine who choked the guy out. You know, what would I do? I said, I would do the first question. The only question I would want to ask the potential jurors is, when was the last time you rode the subway? When was the last time you rode the subway? Because they know, and you know, that there are guys who come on the subway that scare you. You're in there, you're trapped, you can't run, and it's scary. And a guy who's really freaking out, like the deceased was, Daniel Penny is a hero. And I think people who really ride the subways, they're not in their ivory tower, can appreciate that. Before we take a next break, what do you have to say, Steve?
I'm totally on board. By the way, the only scare I had on the subway in the last week was a guy with a dog on the 6 train that was scaring the hell out of everybody. But the guy himself was okay. We all go into the subway worried about the worst. I'm on the trains all the time, day and night, 6-7 days a week, and not only in Manhattan. And I've been fortunate. I haven't witnessed, much less been a party to, any crime or threat. But there are plenty of people on the trains, on the platforms, who scare me to death. You don't know, they're crazy.
Right.
And you
don't
know what you don't know if they're just going to stand there and keep talking to the moon, or if suddenly they're going to spill over into, you know, pulling out a gun or a knife or just attacking some poor old, you know, elderly person on the sitting minding their own business. So it's a big problem. I do not think that putting the National Guard on the subways was a good idea, which the governor did.
Why?
I think it scares people more than I don't. I'll tell you something.
Okay, go ahead.
Errol Lewis.
We could go a little long here.
Errol Lewis,
Alex,
who is a columnist for the Daily News, and who is also New York One.
He's
a major guy. Over the weekend, he posted, I forget whether it was Twitter or Facebook, one of those damn things. He was in some subway station, and he videotaped an incident in which there were like 20 cops and National Guardsmen standing there on the platform as a man came through and jumped the turnstile. And these officers of the law, all this law enforcement, did nothing. They just...
Well, I'm going to say that that was the exception and not the rule. I will just tell you, and then we got to take a break. I know, Alex. When I get on the subway, and I know you feel the same way, Steve, you get on the subway and there's a cop on the platform and there's a cop in the subway car, don't you kind of let your guard down and go, okay, I'm good?
No, I don't. I've never let my guard down since I moved to New York City in 1972.
It's
not the way it was in the 1970s, 80s, 90s. It's not like that at all, no matter what anyone says. Even if there's a cop on the platform, it doesn't impress me most of the times. You see the cops on the platforms? I love cops, but they stand around.
Well, what do you look? God bless them. If there's nothing going on,
I want to see them proactively walking the length of the platform and forth.
Tomorrow,
eyes alert.
Hopefully, Joan will have Chief Kemper of the Transit Bureau on tomorrow. We'll talk about it. All right, Alex, let's take a quick break. It is almost the end of the show. We're here with Steve Cuozzo from the New York Post. We're going to take a quick break and let's come back and talk about some fun stuff. Don't go away. We'll be right back on the Arthur Idala Power Hour.
This is Joe Piscopo. The following is a medical minute sponsored by my friends at InfuCare RX. InfuCareRx.com. Improving quality of life one patient at a time. This week's medical minute features Dr. Mayur Patel of Jersey Shore University Medical Center.
Nutrition is essential for everyone. But for patients with illness, it is even more critical as they need it for healing and recovery. Some patients are unable to eat, digest, or absorb the nutrient through the digestive system because of underlying medical condition. Patients who would benefit from the parenteral nutrition include patients with cancer who are having severe nausea and vomiting and are unable to eat, patients with intestinal obstruction, or patients after stomach or intestinal surgery that may need to rest and heal their digestive tract.
This Medical Minute is sponsored by InfuCareRx, and the information, comments, or views expressed by the guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of InfuCareRx. Please consult your medical professional for any medical questions, opinions, or guidance.
Hey, it's Arthur Idala here for Bay Ridge Honda, run by my family friend Rob Sabah and his family. Sabah family owned and operated. This Honda dealer has been there for over 60 years, serving the five boroughs. I've gotten cars there. My whole family has. My mother, my sister, my grandfather. Everyone knows to go to Bay Ridge Honda because the Sabah family and their team make you feel like you're part of their family, and they are the most trusted in the business. To kick off spring, Bay Ridge Honda is offering $0 deals all month long. $0 deals. That means zero down deals. On top of that, APR rates as low as 1.9% and no payments until summer 2024. 90 days of no payments. They have best prices around and will offer you top dollar for your trade-in. You name it, they have it. Brand new Hondas like the Civic, the HR-V, the CR-V, the Accord, and the Passport. Honda has them all. Serving the five boroughs of New York, every new vehicle comes with the Bay Ridge Plus package for all of your service maintenance needs. Visit Bay Ridge Honda, 4th Avenue and 88th Street in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, or online at bayridgehonda.com.
Kevin McCullough is next on AM 970, The Answer.
Alex, Garrett, tell me who we're listening to.
We are listening to Electric Light Orchestra announcing their farewell tour this year, Arthur.
How many farewell tours are there? I mean, just blows me away. All right, we're back here with Steve Quozo, otherwise known as Quizo, Queezy, Queezy Zozo. Why are you laughing, Steve? You know, I'm a real Italian. Butchering your name is not in my repertoire.
So you say. Real Italian. Let's see.
Well, I'm Sicilian, so I mean, you can take it anywhere.
It's sort
you
of
want.
Italian.
Yeah, it's sort of Italian. Steve, it's wonderful to have you here. The time just flies by. It's a Wednesday night here in New York City. How are you feeling about New York City?
I feel a lot better than a lot of people do. So you saw this story that was in the Post today. It was in the Times about some poll or one of these research organizations sometime last year, you know, asking New Yorkers, how do you feel? Do you feel less safe, more safe? Are you planning to stay here? And you got all these totally predictable answers. Everybody says, you know, like something like 40% of the people polled said that they're not going to be here for more than 5 years. Well, people say this all the time. Talk is cheap. In polls, it means nothing. I am fully aware of the issues and problems and challenges and crises, but I feel great here.
And I agree with you 100%.
I feel great here, and you know, I feel that people are exaggerating the upticks, and that's all they are in crime since 2019. All these characters who say that everything was so much better in 2019. Who was mayor in 2019? It was Bill de Blasio, okay?
Your boy.
Big crime fighter, right?
Your boy.
Okay.
Your boy.
These blips and burps of, you know, have nothing to do with the larger trends. The truth is that murder, which is the, you know, the signal crime, the one that most people fear more than any other, virtually non-existent, unless you are a drug dealer, homeless, a prostitute, engaging with a prostitute, or living in a family or domestic situation that is a tinderbox waiting to erupt. So we just had I went through all 28 of the murders. NYPD tallied 55 murders from January 1st up till a week ago. Of those, 28 were reported in the press. And I went through those 28, and I found only three that involved stranger-on-stranger murder, genuine tragedies. All the others were people who knew each other, gang...
Drug dealers.
Drug deals, you know, this sort of thing. And look, every life is precious. We get that. And murder is heinous, no matter who's the victim, of course. We get that. But if you're not in any of those handful of categories of New Yorkers, your odds of being killed very, very remoter than remote. Now, as far as the other crimes, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, Steve, I'm not worried about getting killed. I mean, I'm not. I am. Am I worried about getting mugged, as we would call it? Yeah. Am I worried about my house getting burglarized? Yeah. The only reason why I'm not worried about my car getting stolen, I'm being serious. My car's a stick shift. And kids don't know how to drive. I'm not joking. If I go to the parking garage, I have to park myself. They don't know how to drive. It's the best security device I have. They may break the window, and they're like, "Oh no, I don't know."
I never learned to drive stick shift either. And I grew up in the suburbs. Go figure. But
when you were driving, there was stick shift was up on the tree.
I don't worry about mugging because the crimes that take place, felonious assault, robbery of different types, that's not what. I don't worry about 1970s, 80s, early 90s style mugging. Somebody comes up to you, pops out of a doorway, they want your money or threaten you with a gun or a knife and all that. I worry about the crazies. That's where the real threat comes from. And I'm alert to it.
Mentally ill.
My wife, all of my friends, people I work with, we're all alert to that more than anything else.
All right, listen, we have a little time left. Can we talk about something fun?
Yeah, it's fun. I thought you'd never ask. Okay, so I want to tell you that there's a new restaurant. It's open about 3 months. I'm written about it this week. It'll probably be online tonight and perhaps in the paper tomorrow.
We'll get an exclusive
it's called,
here, folks.
It's
exclusive.
Called Cafe Carmelini. It's not a cafe that makes it sound like a small little thing. It's a big, big, big restaurant in the Fifth Avenue Hotel, which is a new hotel on Fifth Avenue and 28th Street. It's inside a McKim, Mead, and White architectural masterpiece. It's a city landmark. And it opened a few months ago, and it's an Italian and French place with some American dishes as well. And if you go there, and I've been there about five times, you don't know that there is any crisis in New York. You don't know that people are having trouble making ends meet. They are so busy that they've had to go from five nights a week dinner service to seven. It's anything but cheap. There are dishes on that menu for up to $60, $70. And yet, when you're in there, it's like a reversion to New York City before COVID-19, before, you know, the migrant invasion, and reminds you just how great the city still is. I know not everybody can afford Cafe Carmelini, but, you know, frankly, the people who can't have enough advocates. And I think it's time somebody advocates for middle-class people, affluent people, even for rich people, though I guess that's another category.
No, I agree with you. I go into some of these places that are clearly expensive, and they're full. I mean, when I say full, I mean you got to wait for a table. Luckily, I'm a guest most of the time. And I understand there's plenty of people hurting out there. But, I mean, I see a vibrant community around me here in Midtown. It's interesting that you said in the beginning of the show here about the Midtown having less vacancies than downtown. I did not know that was the case. I do now. But if you talk to the store owners, like the Irish pub guys, they'll still tell you that they're off. Even though there's people in there, they'll just tell you the nights have gotten much earlier. By 11 o'clock, it's like it's almost a ghost town, whereas 11 o'clock, people will be going out at 9:30, 10 o'clock.
This is true. I think there are a number of reasons for it. My friend Dino owns a wonderful Italian restaurant called Cellini on East 54th Street.
Oh, sure.
And Dino, he says his business is off, although every time I go there, such as last night, I don't see it. It looks like a full house. But that's the way restaurant guys talk. However, he makes the point that right next door to the restaurant, there's a longtime wine shop called Schumer's, and it's been there forever.
Know it well.
And it used to be open till 11, 12 at night, and they recently went to closing at 9:30 or something like that. Why is that? Who goes to a wine store at 11:30 at night? I don't know. But nonetheless, that is evidence, single case, but there are many more of them, that business owners correctly perceive that people are not staying out as late as they used to for whatever reason.
Well, I think it's COVID. I think COVID turned It changed the whole, remember there was like a curfew, and it just changed kind of our way of life. It's interesting because, God willing, I'm going to Ireland in 6 weeks or so. And the first time I went to Ireland, which was 20 years ago, they close at 11 o'clock their bars. And then there's like wine bars that are open till like 1 o'clock in the morning. And then there's like a disco that's open till like two. But the regular Irish pubs close at either 11 or 12. So all that happened when I was there 20 years ago was where we would go out to drink at 7 or 8 o'clock at night. They're going out to drink at 5 or 6 o'clock at night. And that's kind of what happened. And it's not just Midtown. My neighborhood in Bay Ridge, Third Avenue, the bars, the pubs, the restaurants, they used to be buzzing at 9, 10 o'clock at night. Now, 9, 10 o'clock at night, people are getting dessert and they're about to head home.
And they're not, it's not because they're afraid of crime.
It's, no, the it's habit just the lifestyle.
The habit was instilled during the COVID lockdown. So I'm somebody who, never ate before 8 and often ate as late as 9 o'clock.
A real Italian.
When we were locked down, my wife and I took to having dinner at night at 7 o'clock at home. Remember everything?
Right.
Everything was closed.
By 7 o'clock, you had to ring the bell. Remember, thank everybody.
And then that, even after the restaurants were reopened on a limited basis, takeout and delivery, it was more than 3 months. It lasted the better part of a year, and so those habits became ingrained. And I think that
it's part of the
it will take time for that.
And it may not change. Reverse. I mean, it may just be like we're in earlier. We're no longer the city that never sleeps. I got 2 minutes left, and I'm going to take a point of personal privilege. Today, March 20th, would be my grandfather, Artie Idala's birthday. I don't know. You could do the math, Joan. He was born in 1908, so you can figure that part out. But he worked in Room 9 at City Hall. He was a writer for the Daily Mirror. He had his own column called You Said It by Artie Idala. Remember the inquiring photographers used to go out in the street and they would ask you a question, they'd take your picture. So I think he'd be 116 today. He passed away in 2000 on February the 15th, but he was a month shy of 92, I think, the month shy of 92. But he was about to put on his shirt and tie and go to the Senior Citizen Center and dance and play with his friends. And he had a rich, full life. Most people who have mentioned his name to me throughout the years know him as a boxing judge. Some people mixed him up as a referee, but he told me he only refereed one fight, and he got all bloodied and spit on, and he didn't want to deal with that anymore. His biggest fight, March 8th, 1971, was Ali Frazier. Where he gave it, I believe it was 9-6 to Frazier, and Frazier is the won the fight. But
we have the call if you want it real quick.
Sure, go ahead. It's his birthday. We can hear his name.
Ladies and gentlemen, here comes the decision.
Johnny Addy,
referee Arthur McCanty, scores it 8-6, one even for Frazier.
One vote for Joe Frazier.
Arty Idala. 9-6 for Frazier.
Frazier is the winner.
I was right. It was 9-6. And I will tell you, I was blessed to be very close with him, even though he lived in the Bronx and we lived in Brooklyn. I spent a lot of time with him as a little boy all throughout, and then throughout my life. And then my grandmother passed away, and he lived with us, I think, the last 4 or 5 years of his life. He was in the attic. My dad was on the main floor. I was in the DA's office in the basement. And living down there, my parents' basement wasn't as bad as it sounds. I had a water bed. It was fun. But I consider myself very blessed. And they say if you keep talking about a person, they never really die. I'm looking at the hat he wore at the Ali Frazier fight. An article about Ali Frazier. The article's written 30 years later what happened. Now it's 52, I think, years later. And there's his obituary in the New York Times. Member of the Inner Circle, Steve. You know the Inner Circle?
Of course.
He performed in that year after year after year from the 1940s right on through. And he's a huge part of my life. And the fact that my son is named Arthur Idala III, I would like to thank my wife, Mary Ann, for that. And I'll tell you, Arthur Idala III can throw a pretty good punch. My dad watched him this weekend. So happy birthday, Poppy. We love you very, very much. Have a great night, everybody. It is Wednesday, March the 20th, 2024. We'll be back tomorrow, live and local, on the Arthur Idala Power Hour.
Please go easy on me tonight. New York City, please go easy on this heart of mine.
The Arthur Idala Power Hour is sponsored by Idala Bertuna and Kamins PC.
Hi, it's Arthur Idala of the Idala Power Hour. I am so excited about this event we are hosting this Monday night, March 25th, from 6 to 8 p.m. live. Come meet us outside on the famous Restaurant Row, 46th Street between 7th and 8th Avenue, Holdfast Kitchen and Spirits, 364 West 46th Street, for an outdoor live remote broadcast of the Arthur Idala Power Hour in conjunction with the Times Square Alliance. Come out and meet me in person along with my co-host for the night, Tom Harris, president of the Times Square Alliance, along with special guests, some of the most amazing restaurateurs along Restaurant Row. Did you know that one block contains more than a century of culinary history? So join us Monday, March 25th, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Hold Fast Kitchen and Spirits, 364 West 46th Street. I promise it'll be a fun night on New York City's historic and famous Restaurant Row at the crossroads of the world in the greatest city in the world, New York City.
My name is Imran Ansari, and I lead the Civil Litigation Division of Idala, Bertuna, and Kamins. Suffering an injury in an accident can be a life-changing experience. Whether you've been involved in a car accident, a construction site accident, a slip and fall, or injured because of someone else's negligence, we can help. Our team of experienced trial attorneys will never settle for less than what you are owed. We are always ready to go to court to fight for you and seek justice. If you have been injured because of someone else's negligence, you have legal rights and may be entitled to significant money to compensate you for your pain and suffering. Hiring the right attorney is important. The combined experience of the lawyers at Idala, Bertuna, and Kamins will be able to lead you through the personal injury lawsuit process and aggressively fight for the best result. If you or a loved one have been injured in an accident, don't delay. Call 212-486-0011, 212-486-0011, or visit us at idalalaw.com. Idala, Bertuna, and Kamins, fighting for justice, fighting for you.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.